the more I surrendered myself, the more I wanted to get closer to him. He's continuing to do things, which I sit back and kind of just amazed, because I'm really not good at a whole lot of things. So it's amazing how God is doing his thing through me. So born and raised kind of North Philly, Fred Hill and Cambria section. That's where I'm at. That's where I am. Married, privileged to be married to Dana, and have two little kids, an 8-year-old girl, Alicia, and Justice, who's 4. So just thankful, just really thankful to be married, to be saved, to even be here this morning to share this word with you. Walt gave me a passage. So I'm thinking you guys are going through the book of John then. So we'll be starting in John 3, 20, 22. And I guess I want to start backwards. I want to start a little backwards. I want to give you what I'm trying to get at first, if that makes any sense. Because I want you to see it. Instead of trying to guess, oh, this is what that means, oh, this is what that means, I want to give you my points straight out right now, and so you can know where we want to go. And also, as we're thinking about who is John the Baptist, who is Jesus, who is his disciples, what are their roles, what does that all mean? You know, for the believer, John the Baptist is you. You need to example him. As a non-believer, John the Baptist is coming at you. He's like, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So I want to give you my points. And the points is this. It's 5 points. Christ on mission with us. Christ is on mission with us. Distraction to derail us from the mission. That was 2. 3, knowing our role in the mission. 4, being sent on a mission and recognizing the sender. And lastly, God being the sender, fulfilling his mission through Christ, the ultimate missionary to save us from being totally separated from holy God. So you got John the Baptist. You know, he's kind of... And John, he's testifying. He's at work. He's doing what he normally does. As we read, I'm gonna paraphrase as we break down. So let me pray, and then we'll continue. Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your word that shines light onto our path. Lord, we thank you for your word that directs us, that gives us life. Father, we ask that it will mold our life, our way, even when we hear from you this very moment, this very morning, that when we walk out, we would be transformed by your word, by your spirit. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. And Father, we lift it up to you in your name. Amen. Amen. So let's read John 3:22 starting. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Enon near Salim. Because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put into prison. Jesus already got baptized. Jesus is on his mission. He knows what's going what he has to do right now. He's baptizing on his end of the lake. You know, John the Baptist is on his end, and he's baptizing folks as well. And he has disciples, and he has people, and they're both at work. They're both on the mission together. What a great picture for us to be on mission with God. So this is John, and this is Jesus kind of going at it. This is what they do, baptizing and getting people to repent, and people just coming to the Lord, and they just at work, getting it in. They're getting it in. 25, an argument develops between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and told him, "Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." Wow. Wouldn't you feel some type of way if you started a business, right, and your customers are going somewhere else? You're like, man, this competition here. We need to do something different. But the disciples are coming. They bringing this up to John the Baptist, who John the Baptist will continually say, "It's not about me. Who I am, I'm the one that's preparing the way for the Lord." So they're just, the disciples are kind of just, you know, baffled over this. So then let's go to 27. To this John replied, "A person can only receive what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him." John the Baptist is one who is sent, who has gone to represent Christ, to represent the way, meaning the ways of Christ, meaning that's what they used to call it back in the way, back in the day, back in that time, the way. Let's go to 29. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is not complete. And it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must decrease. John the Baptist right here is giving an illustration to his disciples. Because the disciples right now are a little slow. they don't understand what's going on. Like, what was his whole purpose, his whole role, who he was. So he gives a story. He gives an illustration that it's like a marriage. It's like a wedding celebration. I am only the best man. John the Baptist lowers himself to the place of, I'm just here to make sure the bridegroom gets united with the bride. Meaning us. Meaning he's not the main event. John the Baptist is just a tool being used. Then we go to 31. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from the earth is above all. He testifies to what he has seen, heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truth. For the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God for God, gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's... Thank you, sir. You can hear me crackling. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. What do we see? We see that John the Baptist is lifting Christ up to a whole nother level where he is. It's not about him. He's telling this is the context is they're already in ministry. They're discipling folks. They're dunking folks. People are confessing. People are coming. But then folks are leaving, and the disciples are getting like, oh, but this isn't this what we, you know, this is our thing, you know. But they can't grasp that it's about Christ. It's about him. And about uplifting him and holding him. He is supreme over John the Baptist. He belittles himself by saying, I am only a man from this earth. But God has come from heaven and has seen and can speak about those things. But man still does not accept his testimony. And then, you know, the last piece of that, it's just like John the Baptist. He just breaks it down and just says, but here's the gospel. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God remains in him. You know, John the Baptist, he exampled what a believer should be. He exampled what following Christ and being in on mission. What mission means is that you know what you know. If you think about war, you know your purpose. You know your directives. You know where to go or what to do. Sometimes in our churches, we have many Christians who are still trying to find God's will. And this is very clear. This is very clear. John the Baptist, even if you go to 1 John 1, he talks about people. You know what? Let's go there real quick. John 1. He's very clear with who he is. And if it was one of us, we'd probably be prideful or something. Like, you know, yeah, I'm the man Jesus is going to look at. You know, I'm the man. But no, John the Baptist is different. Look what he says in 1:19. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am the Christ. I am not the Christ. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say? What do you say about yourself? Jesus replied in the words of Isaiah, the prophet, I am the voice of one coming in the desert. make straight the way for the Lord. He understood his mission. He understood who he was. He understood where he's going. So often we get distracted. We get distracted. You know, we do ministry and then you got, you know, you're hanging out with your disciples. It's funny, it's like his own people. The disciples are in an argument and they try to derail him. They try to say, but hey, man, our ministry is going to close down. And you're not going to do anything about this? And John the Baptist says, nah, I mean, I'm not the Messiah. You know, when he breaks down, when he says that I must decrease, so he must increase. Let's go to Luke 9 for that. Like I said earlier, as we look at this passage, I'm all the way in Revelations. This is who we are as believers, as people who follow Christ. But if you're not following Christ, this is who we're supposed to be. Think about that. As we keep looking at the truth, as we hear the word of God, as he speaks to us, then Jesus says, this is what he says, then he said to them all, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death because they see the kingdom of God. I like John the Baptist's character and where he stood and where he humbled himself. He humbled himself and understood that it wasn't about him. You know, I put this on Facebook. I was asking people, like, help me understand this passage. You know, and that's not, people don't do that. I mean, that's not a normal thing. But to hear what God is saying through the Bible, through other people, is somewhat humbling. Because you have to, because there's some truths in there. I could have it wrong. My interpretation could be wrong. But to submit to my brothers and sisters in the Lord and to listen is a humbling, humbling thing. So what does God want as we look at John the Baptist? What does he want for your life? First of all, he wants you to join him. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to be a part of his mission as we reach out to folks who don't know him, who need to know him, who needs to embrace what the gospel is. Secondly, You know, I've done a youth ministry in the city here for a long time, still doing it actually. You know, I lead a flag football league called Timoteo with 10 other ministries, and just privileged to be a part of mentoring boys with godly men. We have about 12 teams, 180 kids. Joey and Becky came out to the breakfast. I don't know if y'all got fed though. Eventually, yeah, there's so many people to this fundraiser we had at Applebee's, and so the food was running kind of low. But you know, we've done youth retreats, we've done youth rallies, actually right here. And my job was to coordinate people, to do an event, to preach the gospel, to have fun in relative, in relevant type of ways, but then to also find people that would speak. So I wasn't the one normally speaking at those events. I would host them, I would be a part of it, but I was the one that would get someone to put them up front. And that's not normal. That's not normal to say, hey, let me empower or give an opportunity to someone else to speak. Because pride can set in. You just start thinking about, man, do they really need me? You know, they can just do it on their own. You just start thinking about that. But when you're thinking about it as John the Baptist is thinking about it, that, man, that's the Lord's. That belongs to God. And he can do whatever he wants with it. If he wants someone else to run it, or if he wants someone else to just run with it, then just let it go. That's what God wants from us. You might be doing some awesome ministry. You might be doing something that is so good, but when someone gets involved, you're just like, oh, this is me. God doesn't want that. God might want you to let it go so it can go on a whole nother level. But that can be difficult. John the Baptist, you know, I put that, like I said earlier, I put it on Facebook. You know, Walter kind of commented on it. And, you know, he said, it sounds kind of depressing. Because John the Baptist is going to be without a job. I mean, his ministry's just taken over. Not when you understand who you are. If you understand who you are and what you're supposed to do, then it didn't bother John the Baptist. It didn't bother him. Because that was his purpose. His role. What's your role? Our role is to keep pointing to Christ. That's our role. To keep pointing to Christ. Your neighbor right now, if you're a Christian, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you're a Christian, your neighbor next to you should know that you love God, and that what you do and how you walk and how you live, where you work, what you do, shows that you love God. And that you point, that your life reflects Jesus. And those are the opportunities. Because here's the deal, you got to go back home today. You got to go back to work tomorrow. And you got to do, you know, you're just doing all these other things. You know, you might get a flat. Or you might, you know, something's going to pop. You know, it's just like situations are going to happen. And Christ isn't just in a box or right here. Christ is on mission with you wherever you go. And your role, your DNA, your identity is to represent Christ. Do you get excited when, you know, I mentor kids, I disciple kids for a long time, and man, my pride can get in the way. Because it's like, I put my time and money in this kid, and I can't let him go. Because he's still developing, and he's still, nah, that's not. John the Baptist, when he became the best, when he was, when he used that story of the wedding and him, and he was being the best man for Jesus, he calls us for that as well. Because he's marrying, Christ wants to marry us, all of us. And we need to get excited that he's going to move on. There's other people's going to pour into him. We need to get excited that I'm going to give the bridegroom the ring to unite with his bride, which is you, which is your neighbor, which is the person you might be discipling or investing in. Do you get excited about that? Or do you get all bent out of shape like, this is my project? And then lastly, John the Baptist recognized that he cannot save people. God wants you to understand that you cannot save, you are not the Savior. You are not the Messiah. Jesus has come to save us, to save all of us. So he lowered himself, he decreased, so then Jesus could increase. And he did that. He did that at the end. Then he preached the gospel. He said, life is with Christ or death is without him. So what would you choose? I don't know if you have a better picture this morning about John the Baptist and who he is and what he's done and what he's doing or what he's done. But he was absolutely an example. He was absolutely, John the Baptist was a hero of the faith. He was one who exampled it. Now, John the Baptist, he was a little weird, though. I don't know if y'all read, you know, who, let me read this guy a little bit for you guys. Tag me, I got all these papers. Let me read a little bit in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 3. John the Baptist was a little weird. His diet was weird. His clothes was weird. In Matthew 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from, Jer- from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John the Baptist was weird. Just crazy. I mean, he's just doing his own thing, you know, kind of. Sometimes we need to be weird. You know, I have a neighbor. He loves the Lord. He really loves the Lord. He's annoying. He gets up early in the morning, starts singing worship in his living room. And I live on Fair Hill in Cambria. This is row homes, you know, a foot. And, you know, we're in your house, you know, it's like. And top of his lungs, just singing, just worshiping or praying or, you know. And it's like, man, he reminds me of John the Baptist. And sometimes he encourages me. Because he doesn't care. You know, you guys are going to have him, I think. I think he's going to share here in a few weeks. Ron Muse. So he's a real good friend of mine. But he examples what a Christian, what a follower, a believer should demonstrate. So we covered these 5 points, which I'm always looking for right now. Some reason I can't find them. Oh, it's right there. Christ on mission with us. That's what we covered. Christ on mission with us. We was doing ministry together, John and Jesus. Knowing our role, our identity, what are we called to? We need to know that, because you will be lost. You will. That's a guarantee. Distractions can derail us from the mission. Being sent on a mission and recognizing the sender, understanding that God has sent you and put you where you are. And lastly, God being the sender fulfills his mission through Christ, the ultimate missionary. To save us from being totally separated from Holy God. As I conclude, as a believer, you have purpose. You have purpose. You have mission just like God does. You need to ask yourself, does God's mission guide you everything? Yeah, everything. Does it control you? John the Baptist was a great example of the faith. He obeyed, he lived, he submitted. He pointed to the one that saved, to the great missionary Jesus Christ. So today, go and be like him. Be the greatest missionary. Go. Make a way to introduce Christ to everyone at work, at school, on Facebook. Facebook needs to be by itself, because it's like everyone has a Facebook. When you play, at home. Christ needs to be represented in all these areas. It's just not here. In all, in your entire, it needs to consume you. Consume all of you. prepare the way for Jesus, because there are so many opportunities for people to know him, to love him, and to live for him. So that's my challenge today. As we saw John the Baptist, yes, there's a big theme that he has a purpose and mission. And there's another theme that we need to be like him, and that we need to uplift and represent Christ in all that we do. And even it might even call for us to step down and stop doing certain things, because Christ will take it to a whole nother level. So let me pray, and I'll pass this on. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, for your word that speaks to us so clearly, that to follow you is to deny ourselves. Father, so clearly that it gives us examples that sacrificed, that lived it, that we should follow. Thank you. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that I'm able to learn from that. Father, allow my life to be an arrow pointing to you, directing people to you. So, Father, as we heard your word today, as we heard your challenge for us to go and be sent, and to know all of you, and to share it with our people. Lord, we just pray, Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would do something amazing. And we trust you. Thank you. In your name, amen.